Today's daf is daf chaf tes. We're holding by the Halakha Mishnah as follows: Kol mitzvot haben al ha'av, anashim chayavim anashim turot. It's not clear what this means. All of the mitzvot. In the end, it's going to turn out to mean all of the mitzvot that have to do with a need to take care of a son. That is a chiyav on men, meaning on fathers, and not on women. So nashim turot, meaning the mother, is not mechuyevet. So it's when it comes to bris milah, let's say a pidyon haben. Those are chiyuvim on a parent, but only on a male, and not on the female. V'chol mitzvot ha'aval ha'ben, ma'she'en ke'in, the other direction, where mitzvot to take care of a father, like kibud av v'ein, where that's a chiyuv on a child, over there, echad anashim ve'echad nashim chayavin, over there, it's a chiyuv both on males and female children. V'chol mitzvot ha'aseh she'azman gorma anashim chayavim ve'nashim pturot. Furthermore, any mitzvah say that is dependent on time, so that you're chayav at a certain time and potter at other times, only males are chayav and females are potter. V'chol mitzvah say shelo hazman gorma. Any mitzvah say that is chal all the time, or an event triggers as opposed to a time. Echad anashim v'echad anashim chayavim, over there, everyone, male and female, are chayav. V'chol mitzvah lo ta'aseh. When it comes, however, to a lotase, so there it's irrelevant whether it's ben shazman gorma, let's say chilul Shabbos, is only a din in Shabbos, so it's a lotase shazman gorma, or ben shalo hazman gorma, like eating not kosher. So echad anashim ve'echad anashim chayavin, there it's exactly the same, no matter whether we're dealing with a male or a female, except for three cases. We'll see here the Mishnah talks about these three cases. We'll see if there's other issues in the Gemara. Chutz mi bal takif, with the iser of cutting off the peyot, there's the sides of the head, ubal tashchit, and the iser of shaving. Now, you would think that a woman would be usher in shaving, but not maybe if she has a beard. But certainly it's a nogea whether she can shave a male. Just like in this question, should she cut off the peyot of a male?
Right.
Sorry? If she had a beard, we'll see. Ubal tatamela metim, and the isra on kohanim not to be betame, that's not chal on women, only on men. Okay, he says the Gemara, first of all, what's the meaning of the Mishnah? It's a very ambivalent language over here, unclear. My kol mitzvot abein ala'av, does that mean kol mitzvot b'chayav b'olam eved le'ava? That's what it sounds like. All mitzvot that a ben has to do on his father, so is that what you mean? Are you telling me that nashim apturot? In other words, a woman is not chayav in kibud av. That's what you're saying. Vatanya ish emi ela ish shaminai. How do we know when it says ish imova viftiro that that doesn't mean only an ish? Who's to say it means also an isha? Kishu omer ish imova viftiro u loshen rabim. So obviously we're referring to both sexes. Later on, the Gemara is going to discuss tomorrow why then does it say ish, which is very misleading. So the Mishnah can't possibly mean what it seems to be saying, which is that the mitzvahs that a child is chayav for a father is only true on the male. Omer Rav Yehuda, the way to understand the Mishnah is like this. Kol mitzvot ha-bein, which are al ha'av, things that need to be done for a child, that is a chiyav in the Torah, that a father is mechuyav in, la'asot libino, they're only the male, meaning the father, anashim chayavim, but the mother, the nashim are pturot, which is basically the formulation of the following braita, tanina latatan rabbanan, ha'av chayav bibno, a father, and only a father is chayav for a child's lamulo, for his brit mila, livdoto, for pidin haben, lelamdo Torah, La'asiyo isha, to get him married, the lamdo umanut, to make sure that he has a trade. V'yesh omrim af, la'ashito b'mai. Others say he's also mechuyev to teach him how to swim. And Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, it's not just chiyev. Koshin ha'malamed is b'do umanut. If a father does not give a trade to his child, malamdo listut, he's basically teaching him how to be a mafioso. Come on, at least don't sell kadaitach. What do you say? I mean, he's teaching him? No, I mean, ki ilo malam do listut. In not teaching him, it's the equivalent of actually encouraging him for a life of crime. Because obviously he's going to need to make a living, so his only eighth is going to go to Kailo.
Help.
Says the Gemara, Lemulo. Okay. So, unfortunately, no, it's nothing to that. Lemulo. So you say that the Chiyav Lemulo, the Mishnah made a kalal. The Braita actually discussed the various mitzvot that the Mishnah is referring to. So therefore, let's go through the things that are mentioned in the Braita and see what the Mekor is. So how do we know that the father is Bechuyav in Mila? And there it says, Kasher Tziva Oto Elohim. So in other words, clearly, there's a din in Yitzchak Bino, which is the Tzivoy of Elohim. In a case where the father had not been mal, so then there's a chiyuv on beitin lemimalei dechtiv himol lachem kol zachar. So now this is a tzivoy to Klal Yisrael as a whole, and the beitin acts now for the chiyuvim of the tzibur. Ve'echad lo ma'alei beitin. And what if the beitin does not act and the child grows up to be uncircumcised? Then b'chayav yu lemimal nafshe. He then has to see to it that he becomes circumcised. Dechtiv, v'arel zachar asher lo yimolet b'sar or lato. Here we're talking about the individual, an uncircumcised male who does not take care to see to it that he should be circumcised. So over there, the Torah now is v'nichrata nefeshi. It's b'chuyev mechayev him in karet. So obviously, he is m'chuyev to take care of it himself because it's not talking to anybody else. How do we know, how do we know that there is no chiyuv on her? I mean, I understand. Avram was there, so he took the initiative. Well, what lamaisa would have been the din if he wouldn't have done it? If the father had died before it wasn't available? So how do we know that there's no chiyuv on her? Dichtiv, because it unnecessarily says, instead of kasher tziva Elohim, it says kasher tziva oto. That's tziva oto. That's what we're talking about. Therefore, it's stressing oto v'lo ota, that bedavke there's no chiyuv on the mother to act. All of this, however, is a description before the time of Kabbalat Torah. I mean, how do we know that this is true l'dorot? So ashkan miyad. Okay, we find many things that were miyuchad for that period. How do we know that this is the mitzvah l'dorot in this fashion? That the father is mechuyev and that the mother is ptura. Tana devei Rabbi Shmuel. It's the lashon of kasher tziva. Tziva is never defined by the time. Tziva means an absolute over all times. Because the Tana devei Rabbi Shmuel, kol makom shenemar tzav, wherever we have that lashon, inoela ziruz miyad uledorot. It first of all means get off your rear end and do it. So it's a sense of an absolute demand. And as an absolute demand, it extends over all generations. We see that it's meant as a Lashon Ziruz from Yoshua. What does that say? That the way to give a person a jolt, you give him a tzivoy and be mechazik him because he's going to have to get moving. He's going to have to act. So we see that that need to strengthen a person and give him courage is what tzivui is involved in. And that's what you're going to have to do for someone who has a mitzvah. How do we know that it's a dorot? Dichtiv min hayom asher tziva Hashem v'hala ledorotechem. So we see that the meaning of tzav is for all dorot, from this point on. And therefore, however it's defined for Avram Avinu, because it's kasher tziva, it becomes a definition even bizman hazeh. The next thing the Braita said is that an av is mechuyev for pidyon haben. So minalan, dechtiv kol b'chor banecha tifteh. Suppose the father wasn't poteh, echad lo parkei avua, he is b'chuyiv to be poteh himself. V'chayev ihu l'mifrakei. Dechtiv podo tifteh. So there's an additional pidyon besides the pidyon of the father. And you have to see to it that you're podo. Absolutely, podo tifteh. And how do we know that the mother is not b'chuyiv? V'i minalan de lo mifakta. Dechtiv, look, it's written tifdeh, right? But you can read that tipadeh. In other words, the word is the way it's written has two possible pronunciations. Tipader, that is, see to it that you yourself are pdui. And tifter, the verb, go out and be poder, somebody else, transitive verb. So tipader now would be reflexive. Tifter would be transitive. So therefore, by putting it in this fashion that allows us to have a multiple interpretation of the word, it means that the two states are to be compared. Where we can say to you, Tipadet, see to it that you are padui. So then we can tell you, the same person, you make sure that you're padui, your child. But a person who is not mechuyev to be poda themselves in the event that the father wasn't poda, and that means a woman, as we'll see in a moment, is by definition a na mitzuvah lifdot achirim. Such a person now has no mitzvah to poda anybody else. And how do we know indeed that ihim inon adolom achayev lemifrak nafsha? Because even though it says in the Torah beferah, but this seems to be a strange question. How do we know that a woman doesn't have to be paid herself? What do you mean? As Tosfos says, what kind of question is this? It says, it stresses the opinion of it as it did in males. Where would we get there? Even such a havamina? Says Tosfos, no, because now we see there's two halachas. A human being has to see to it that they are padui. But besides that, there's a chiyuv to be poder. Okay, so I understand. When it comes to the chiyuv to be poder, that a parent has to take care of on a son. But the moment that that son is in his own rishus, he has to take care of it for himself. So how do we know that that element of the chiyuv isn't true about a woman? Maybe a female also has to be paduya. It's just that nobody's responsible to do it but herself. So how do we, and once that would be true, so then we have to turn back around again and learn out that she herself would also be mechuyev to be poda, because we're saying over here, the whole mekar, that she's not mechuyev is from the fact that she's not mechuyev to be poda atatzma. Therefore, she doesn't have to be podat benah. But if we would then say, but maybe she is mechuyev to be podat atzma. So then in that case, maybe she would be mechuyev to act. If a father isn't podat, so she should be podat. How do we know? The law mechayev lemifrag nafsha. How do we know that there's no element of pidyon on the woman at all? That's the same lima, don't you see? Because the Torah is also saying tifteh tipadeh. Meaning, if you are included in the pasuk of kol b'chor b'adecha tivdeh, meaning that your father has to take care of you, only then is there a tipadeh that you're mechuyev to take care of yourself. Clearly the father is not mechuyev to be poda his daughter, in which case, by definition, the daughter doesn't have to be poda herself. Once I know that the daughter doesn't have to be poda herself, then the same interrelationship of the tivdeh and tipadeh tells me that she is not included in the mitzvah to be poda her son. So it works in both directions, therefore. So, kosha acherim mitzuvim livdoto, if a father is mechuyev to take care of the pidyon of this kind of person, meaning of this sex, either, here it means only the male, because it says beferish b'chor banecha. So then, mitzuvah livdoto tatzmo. That person has to take care of himself. But kol she'en acherim mitzuvim livdoto, if others don't have to take care of the person, then that person doesn't have to take care of himself. That would mean a female is excluded. So, ein mitzuvim livdota tatzmo. And how do we know for certain that minayin she'ein acherim mitzuvim livdota, that there's no chiyev to be poda a daughter? That's clear. Instead of saying, kol ha-bechor tifteh, it stresses kol b'chor banecha. So it's obviously saying, we only are mechayev you to be paid a male. Don't rabban. Now you're saying that we have basically two chiyuvim. We have a chiyuv that a father should be paid a son. And then we have a chiyuv that that son should be padui. Tipade. See to it that you are padui. And if that means that you have to pay for your own pidyon out of your pocket, that's tough. So it's not that you have a chiyuv to be paid, but you have a chiyuv to be padui. The chiyuv to be padeh is for your son. So this is an interesting situation. Why? Because when it comes to the act of the mitzvah, the act of the mitzvah to be poder, the active, is on the son, not on yourself. You're not mekayim the mitzvah of kol b'chor banecha tifteh by being poder yourself. On the other hand, the state that you have to be in is a state of podui. So over there, you need to see to it that you are in a proper state. Now, generally speaking, this means that we're going to run into a contradiction in what to do when you can do only one. Suppose you could do only one. Always the halacha in the Torah is that a human being's primary responsibility is to himself. All right? So in other words, it's always chayecha keira. It's v'chayachicha ima. But first comes you, then comes somebody else. So if we're talking about the state of being, you have to be doeg for your own state of being. That would mean if you only have enough money to be paid to yourself, you should see to it that you're padui. On the other hand, since the chiyuv of the mitzvah is not to do that, the chiyuv of the mitzvah is to be put to your son, so in terms of the mitzvah sabere that's on you, you have a chiyuv to act out for your son. So which one is more important under those circumstances? So here we run into a problem. Tana Rabba, suppose we have who liftot who don't liftot. What do we do? So the Tanakhama says, who kodem livno? Look, he has to come first. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but no, kodemo. That no, his son, it comes first, because the mitzvah is for the son. So ze mitzvato aviv. Over here, the mitzvah for himself was on his father. And his father didn't do his mitzvah. But the mitzvah about his son is on him. So therefore, he has to do what he has to do. Now, although it sounds like the argument is straight out a question of what comes first, a mitzvah or a state of being that you're mechuyev to be doing for yourself, the Gemara makes it clear that that cannot be the machlokas. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah hakol modim, for sure, that kol hecha deleka elecha meslein, if really there's no way to be mekayim it at all, both of them, and there's only five selah, so then, for sure, you have to take care of yourself first. Who kodem live? No, my time mitzvah de gufe adifa. The mitzvah about your own state of being is more of a chiyav than what has to be done as a mitzvah that you're mechuyev and a maisa mitzvah for somebody else. That's for sure. So what's it nigea? Ki plige echad ike chomesh b'shu'u badim v'chamesh b'nei chorin. This is a rather complex, a conceptually complex idea. And here's the issue. What happened is that you once, before the son was born, you had property that was worth the amount of money that you need to pay your pidyon. Then it was sold. So that means that the lien of the pidyon of the kohen it still exists against the property for you. Problem is, you also have five selah in cash. Now, obviously, you can't collect from the property if the guy still has money that he can pay you right now. But he meanwhile had a son. Now he needs to use the five selah in his pocket to pay for his son. If he uses those five selah, then when the coin comes to collect, he'll say, okay, here's five selah for my son. So then the Kohen says, yeah, but you still owe me the five selah that you never paid for yourself. Well, unfortunately, I sold that property, but you can go and collect against that property because you had a lien on that before I sold it. So that's really the question. Here, then, even though that seems to be irrelevant to our argument, it's very relevant indeed. And let's take a look how the Gemara works it out. So Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, so first the Gemara talks about an issue that is purely a question of an understanding of liens. Nothing to do with the situation about the mitzvah, the state of being, that we're going to have to plug in afterwards. So first, let's understand what the machlokas is. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar, milve de katuv ba-torah kichtuva b'shtar danya. We already saw this machlokas earlier in this, and we understand this machlokas. Something that you owe in order to be mekayim a mitzvah of the Torah is the equivalent of having been written down in a shtar, and therefore you could be teref lekuchas, which means that the kohen, when he comes to collect your money, let's say you didn't have any cash, he can go and collect against the property that you sold because it's as if it was written in a shtar. Something written in a shtar is collectible from property that is now owned by somebody else. So therefore, Bahani Chamesh, with the five selah that he has in cash, let him go and be porek levrei, let him go be pore his son. Then ozu koin v'torifle l'chamesh b'shu ubadim l'didei. Let the coin collect the other five for his own, because on that he had a lien, because that took place before his son was born and was ochal ages ago. Whereas the Rabbanon hold, no, that's not going to help you, my dear friend, because milva dechtiv bioraita lav kiktuv v'bishtar damya. It doesn't help because anyway the coin's not going to be able to collect, because you can't collect oral debts. And a chiyav against a mitzvah in the Torah is not the equivalent of being written down in the shtar to protect lekuchais. So anyway, the kohen's not going to be able to collect, which means that you're left with five selah. And that's all you're going to be able to have. So now the question is, can you use those five selah for yourself or for your son? But you just said everybody agrees that your own state is more important than a mitzvah that you have for somebody else, right? Fine.
The fact of the coin, there are multiple coins in the world, for him in the world.
That's a different issue, how to be, that's the question of Momesh and Lotovim, how it's possible to be Tovaya, that we'll see when we get to Bava Metzia. But here, the question is, so if that's the Machlokas, then what we said before is irrelevant, right? But what are you telling me? Shezem mitzvat ol aviv, v'zem mitzvat b'no alav, who cares about that? Reb Yehuda's reasoning is irrelevant to the question of whether a Kohen has a right to be Torah Flekuchais for Milva Ktuva B'Torah. So what's he talking about? Therefore, what Rashi explains is like this. If it wouldn't be that Reb Yehuda held that Zem Mitzvato Al Aviv, Zem Mitzvah B'no Alav, so that the Maisa Mitzvah is a Chiyav on him for his son, then if he would have attempted to do this shtick, it would have been shtick. If he would have used the five selah now to pay for his son and told the Kohen, go collect for the Meshubadim, so then the guy who had bought the field would say, excuse me, what kind of fraud is this? You had five selah in cash. You were supposed to pay this debt, not to have a Kohen come and steal from me. I bought the field knowing that you had money. What kind of outrage is this? You had a choice. You could have paid the debt that I'm going to have to pay now. Now you come to me and he takes away my land and I'm going to be stuck in court for years trying to get my money back from you. Out of your mind. So then you would have no right to do such a thing. It's only because of the svar the Rebbe Yehuda says that's not true. Because if I'm faced with the ability, if I could be Mekayim both, I need to make now a determination what comes first, right? That's fair. What comes first? My son comes first. Okay, here's the cash for my son. Now, my son wouldn't have come first if I didn't have that cash. Then I would have come first, right? But since Lamaisa, because of the way that I hold about the milva ktuva b'tara, I do have cash. Unfortunately, it's going to involve the coins coming to collect in your field. But that's fair. Because that was my chiyav, was to take care of my son. Now I don't have cash, and I was going to go after you. So if it would be true that a levita of Yehuda, your own state comes prior, there's two issues over here. What comes first, and what comes essentially? Fascinating, right? You think it's the same thing. So if you have a choice of one or the other, the essential thing is to take care of yourself. But if you can take care of yourself, and you can also take care of somebody else, what comes first in that case? So over here, the mitzvah laven comes first. It's a fascinating thing. It would be a court case. But it's such an amazing insight into so many issues. Because the truth is that oftentimes we have situations that we have to triage. We don't have the resources to handle. So over there, the yesod in the Torah is that shalcha kaitam. Absolutely. Shalchor kaidam. You must take care of the essential elements in your life. Always. On the other hand, where it's a question of what takes priority, that's not necessarily part of that triage. That's a different issue. It could be that you need to put off the things for yourself because you have a mitzvah or a chiyav or an emergency, whatever it is, to do something else first. That's a very big yisod. This is how Rashi learns this. Okay. Tosis doesn't accept. He has a very, very complicated and very hard to believe approach to the sugya, because he doesn't accept this argument. That's very interesting. All right. So in any event, we have a beautiful, beautiful machlokas over here. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, how about if you have two contradictory mitzvot? How about if you have a mitzvah lifdotet benon, and you have a mitzvah alila regel? So what do you do then? Tana Kama says, well, I mean, you gotta be poda et beno, and then you're oila l'regel. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're oila l'regel first, and then you're poda et beno. Why? Because the aliyah l'regel, if you don't do it now, you're not gonna do it at all, because it'll be after Yontav, you won't be able to be oila l'regel. Pidyon haben, despite the fact that there's a mitzvah l'chatchila to do it now, it's a mitzvah for the rest of his life. Since that mitzvah is an ongoing mitzvah, so it's a mitzvah she'ina overet, it always takes priority to handle a mitzvah overet above a mitzvah she'ina overet, despite the fact that the mitzvah she'ina overet does have a lechatchila time to do, where it's first chal on you. So Bishleim and Rabbi Yehuda, you know, that makes sense. Rabbi Yehuda is explaining himself, but the Rabbanan, they don't make sense, and they don't give any explanation. So Bishlam the Rabbi Yehuda Kidikamar Taima, the Rabbanan Maita Amayu, where did the Rabbanan get the idea? I mean, it really is illogical. The Torah gives you an opportunity. Grab the opportunity, then go on and take care of the things you could do later. I say the Rabbanan, logically you're right. But there is a brilliant diuk in the Pasuk that shows you that the Torah does not want you to do this. Because look at this crazy Pasuk. It says, Kol b'chor b'necha tifdeh, v'lo yera'u panai reikam. What? This doesn't make any sense. There's absolutely no connection between Pidyon HaBen and Aliyah L'Regel. So what are you telling? Kol b'chor b'necha tifdeh, v'lo yera'u panai reikam. Oh, therefore, indeed, it's creating an interrelationship to tell you that what comes first is indeed the kol b'chor b'necha tifdeh. And then, v'hadar lo yera'u panai reikam. So in other words, the Torah goes out of its way to say, Pidyon HaBen is not to be looked at as a mitzvah oiveres when it comes to Aliyah L'Regel. Tana Rabbanim inayin shima yilu chamisha banim michamesh nashim shechayav livdot kulam. How do you know that if you have five sons from five different women, each of which was the petarechen, that you're chayav to be paid to all of those sons? Talmud lomar, kol b'chor b'necha tifteh. All of your sons you need to be put, all of your b'chorot. My son, the two b'diyat b'chor, Shefi, was put twice. Right? Two b'choros from two women. Right? Yeah. So, it says the Gemara Pshita, b'petarechem tol rachman. What's the Kiddush? I don't understand. Of course, the Torah says the first one to open the womb. So obviously, it's a function of the womb. Why would I think otherwise? Because ma'ad etemen nelev bechor bechor minachala. I might have thought that's all very true. But meanwhile, the Torah is comparing bechor for pidyon to bechor from nachala, and just like bechor from nachala involves the father, so maybe pidyon bechor involves both. In other words, if you have a woman where this is a petarechem, and it's your first child as well, so then there's Pidyon HaBen. But if it's just a petarechem, it's not your first child, so then you're not mechuyav of Pidyon HaBen. So I might have thought, mala halan reshit ono, just like by definition, the bechor, ki hu reshit ono, means that it has to be the first of the father's strength. So afkan reshit ono, kamash balan, that it's irrelevant, and it's kol bechor b'necha, no matter how many you have. Continued the Braita, another mitzvah that a father is mechuyav to do for a child, is lelamdo Torah. Mino, how do we know that there's a chiyuv to teach a child Torah? Well, it says beferish v'limadtem otam et bneichem medaber ba. So this, we read this every day in Kriyat Shema. And how about heched lo agmarei avua? What if a father does not teach a child? Mechayev iu lemigbar nafshe. He is mechuyav to teach himself Torah. How do we know that? Dichtiv, because, after all, we have the same diuk of the double loshen. So we have now the ulmatem, right? So we have, first we have two psukim. We have the limadatem et b'nechem, and then we have the posik that talks about your own learning. Ulmadatem otam ushmartem lasotam. So that means you need to know what it is that you're going to do. Okay. Now, how do we know that how do we know that she doesn't have to teach her child? Because here we are learning the lashon v'limadatem to ulimadatem. In other words, there's a relationship between teaching, limad, and lomad for yourself. Kol shemitzuveh lilmad, mitzuveh lelamed. So if there's a mitzvah of limud, so then there's a mitzvah to teach. But kol she'eino mitzuveh lilmad, eino mitzuveh lelamed. If you don't yourself have a chiyuv of learning, there's no chiyuv of teaching. How do you know that a woman doesn't have a chiyuv of learning? How do we know she doesn't have to teach herself? Mamela. Same question we had earlier, that the parent doesn't have to teach her. No, okay. But who's to say? We see that there's a chiyuv to teach herself. So maybe she's also a chiyuv to teach herself. No, that I also learn out from the same comparison of elimatem to ulmatem. Kol she'acherim mitzuvim lalamdo. If someone was b'chuyev to teach you as a child, so then you as an adult are mitzuvah lalamid et atzmo. You have to teach yourself. But where? Just a prepidian aben. Kol she'ina acherim mitzuvim lalamdo, enu mitzuvah lalamid et atzmo. And how? Why are we taking for granted that a parent is not b'chuyev to teach a daughter? Minayin she'ina acherim mitzuvim lalamda, diomar kra, because be medayik in that first pasuk. It says beferish over there, v'limaltem otam et b'neichem. And that means that it's only a chiev for b'neichem, for lo b'dotichem. Tana Rabbanan, here we have exactly the same issue again. Since it turns out that you have to teach yourself in the event that a parent didn't teach you, so now what about the where you have a clash between your child, you have enough money that your child can be taught, or you can be taught, but you can't afford both. What do you do? So who lilmod ubino lilmod? Who kodem livno? Says the Tanakhama. He comes first. Rabbi Yehuda says, not necessarily. It's the limud that comes first. And therefore, im no zariz umumulach v'talmudo mitkayim biyado v'no kodmo. If the child is more of a matmid, has a better brain to understand things, and a better memory to retain things, then the son comes first. And there was actually a mice like this. Rabbi Yaakov, b'reid Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha, who was Rabbi Yaakov's father, Shadri Avul HaKamedi Abai, his father went to work so that he could afford to send him to yeshiva while supporting the family. And he sent him to Abaya. And when he came back after learning from Abaya, Kiyatya, he saw that he was not sharp about what he had learned. He was getting mixed up, wasn't clear, wasn't able to handle it. So he said, Omarle, he said to his son, look, anadif aminach, I'm smarter than you are, and I'm able to do better. Tov at, you go to work, dozilana, you take care of family, I'll go learn. I mean, what's the point of using the only funds we have for you if I can do better? That's what this is. No, it's not a joke. No, it's a very important point. This is a central point in the Hilchos Talmud Torah, this issue. Because the chiyuv of learning is different than the chiyuv of knowing. That's the point. The chiyuv to teach somebody, I'm not the chiyuv to pay for. I can teach. But the chiyuv of seeing to it that I know, or seeing to it that my son knows, I'm a chiyuv to pay for, because I have to see to it that he knows. It's a completely different chiyuv. It's two totally different mitzvahs. And it makes tremendous afkaminas la'alocha. How a person has to deal with himself and son, and how he has to deal with others. Because there is a mitzvah to teach everybody. Right? They're all called your bonim. But not lagabi this din of being mechayev you to go to work in order to see to it that they learn. That's the difference. So anyway, Abaya hears that, oh my God, Rav Acha is coming. Rav Acha is a tremendous tzaddik, a chosid. So he hears, Shem Abaya de Kaveati, that he's coming, so he wanted to make use of him. Now the Beis HaMedrash that Abaya used to use was out of town, and there was this horrific shade that had settled down in that Beis HaMidrash. And anybody who went in there to learn, I mean, even if two guys were going as a chavrusa, they would come running out of there like it was the end of the world. So Haviyahu Mazik be'Rabbanad Abaye. There was this Mazik that lived in Abaye's Beit HaMidrash, Tichiyavi Ayel Betrein, Afilo B'Yamama, that even in broad daylight, when two people would come in, having mitzike, they would get attacked. So Abaye says to all of the people in town, listen, Lo leitev le'inish u'shpiza, nobody offer him a place to stay. Because it may be this way, he'll be forced to hang out in the Beit Midrash, and then this mazik is going to come to attack him, and since he's such a tzaddik, he'll get rid of it. Okay? So efshet mitrachish nisa. So he comes, all, and he goes to sleep, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, he's approached by a hydra with seven heads. So this is a pretty frightening thing. So he decides, okay, he's going to daven and take care of this thing, you know. So kol kriya de kora, so every time he did a kriya in his tefillah, so one head fell off. So not a chadresha. Okay, when he finished his seven kriyot, there was nothing left of this thing. But the next day, he was very angry that they had pulled this little trick on him. Amalo lamachar, you know, he's lo yitrakish nisa sakinantin. I could have gotten into a lot of danger in that. How could you do that to me? Tana Rabbana, how about if you are in a position where you can either go now to learn, or you can go and get married. Lilmot Torah Lisa Isha. Which one comes first? I guess they knew that we had just finished our Shadim discussion. So, Yilmot Torah V'achar Kach Lisa Isha. The mitzvah is to learn Torah and then to get married. But Imi Efshalo Belo Isha. If you can't handle being without a wife, so that you're going to end up now with your Hurei Avera and not be able to learn Torah without the Yetzer Hara, so then it's better to be first married, Yisa Isha, ve'achar kach yilmot Torah. Omer Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, halacha nosei isha v'achar kach yilmot Torah. So Shmuel paskens, you should first get married and then go to learn. Rabbi Yochanan says that's ridiculous. Rechayim betzavaro v'yasok betorah. Well, you'll be walking around with this enormous grind mill around your head so you can barely move back to the office. And you're supposed to be able to learn Torah under these circumstances. You got to be crazy. Never get married if you need to learn. But lo pligi, they're actually not arguing. Halan v'halohu. Depends who we're talking about. Now here is how Rashi understands it. Rashi learns halan v'halohu. So Shmuel, who lived in Bavel, was telling his Talmidim, get married first, and then go to learn Torah. Why? Because in Bavel, they used to travel to Eretz Yisrael to learn. So that means that he's going to leave the family behind anyway. They're not going to bother him. And he's going to go and learn, and he'll have his cake and eat it too. Maz Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. He said, you got to be crazy. If you get married, then you're going to end up not being able to learn. So it's better to learn first and then get married. That's how Rashi learns. So Tosfos says, So Tosfos says, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, first of all, what is that supposed to mean? You go get married, you have a family, but it's not a problem. You're going to go to Eretz Yisrael for 6 months at a time. And what's going to happen to the kids and the wife when you go away? They'll manage. So Tosfos says, but that's exactly what the Gemara says about people who do that. We had this Gemara in Gittin. Bnei Adam Abayim Misham Lekan, people who come from Bavel to hear, Hei Mekaymim Batzman Vayitnu At Hayelad Bezona. They're basically selling their kids into prostitution, so to speak. How are they supposed to make a living? I understand what they wanted their kids to become now, sex toys. And make money on the street corners. What the heck is wrong with them? So what, we're going to give an eighth to the people to do such a thing? Leave your family and go learn, but it's fine. You won't have a kind of suffer. That's outrageous. Not to mention the fact, says Tosfos, that if you're going to be leaving town, what good is it having a wife? Yeah, that obviously is the way he's...
In every port.
He's saying he had a girl in every port we had before. Yeah. So what good is it to have a wife back in Bavo if you're leaving town for 6 months? So you're not really handling the problem anyway, right? Yeah. So Tosfos doesn't like this. Lemaisa, it seems clear that Shmuel is talking to people in his area and Rabbi Yochanan is talking to people in his area. Says Rabbi Yonatan, it can't mean that. It must mean that B'nai Bavel, who are poor, and they can't, he's talking bedavka to people from Bavel, not to people in here. Shmuel is talking about B'nai Eretz Yisrael. They, first of all, don't have to travel. So they don't have to worry about leaving their kids behind. And also, the economy was much better there. So he was talking to them. He says it's a little funny that each one is talking to people from the other area. He brings another Gemara, which clearly that was the case too, in which someone in Bavel is addressing his Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael, that came from Eretz Yisrael, and vice versa. Okay. The Tosfos reading says that it's clear from the Rambam that the Rambam understands halon v'halahu as what level of human beings we're talking about. So a halon, that's what we're talking about. You know, the guys over here in Bavel, there's so much pornography on the internet. If they're not married, they're not going to be able to handle it. Well, Shane, because people in Eretz Yisrael, lousy internet, so they are tzaddikim, so they can handle it. That's all. He says, because the Rambam doesn't bring any of this. All the Rambam says is ve'im ef sharlo belo isha. So then yisaisha trila, and then yomatera b'taira. So how does he understand this Gemara? It must be that he understands that halon v'halahu is a function of the type of person you are. If you see that you can't handle it, so then go get married. But if you can handle it, so don't get married. And that's all that it means. So halon v'halahu is the type of people where they're used to Yitzro mitgaber aleihem. So in Bavel, that was the society. In Eretz Yisrael, it was like a completely different view of how you're supposed to be. But it's interesting that it's a sociological thing that Riyah is saying, right? In other words, there are societies that train you to have your Hurei Avera. There are societies that are so full of fantasy that it's really a function of society. This is the way people are. That's all they're talking about is sex. So without a woman, you're going to go nuts. There's other societies where it's accepted. And, you know, hold your horses, everything in its time, and so on. And in Akinami, it's very, very much a function of how you grew up and faced the world. Yeah, Eli, with your mother, you'll have no problem. Mishtaveach le'Rav Kista Rav Huna Rav Hamuna the Adam Gadol. So Rav Kista was talking about Rav Hamuna all the time, and he says to Rav Huna, this guy is amazing. So Rav Huna says to him, okay, if I want to meet him, let me check him out. When he comes your way, bring him over here. We'll see. Oh, those kind of statements are always dangerous. So in walks Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna says, sees that Chazir HaParasudra wasn't wearing a hat or a yarmulke. Now, in those days, only somebody who was married would cover his head. And this guy didn't cover his head. So like today with the talit, became a minig among the Ashkenazim, that only someone who's married puts a talit over his head. Otherwise you don't cover it. It's like this Gemara. Omar le, my time alo parisat sutra, why aren't you wearing a yarmulke? Omar le, delo nasivna, I'm not married. So Ravuna adrina le'apim, and he turns his face to the other direction, and he says, get this guy out of here. I don't want to see him. Chazidulo, chazidul la'ape, you shouldn't dare come and look at my face. Adinasaft, until you get married. I want to see you. And this is Ravuna Lashitato. Ravuna Lashitato, Nataimi, who says, Ben Esrim Shana, Velona Saisha, Koyamav Ba'avera. A guy who already reaches the age of 20 without a woman is going to be sinning his whole life. Sinning, I mean, come on. I mean, that's pretty big words. What, he's literally going around being mizana? Once he got used to fantasizing, he's already 20 years old, he's never going to get it out of his head, even if he gets married. So therefore, says Ravuna, I want to watch a man who's inside his brain, all kinds of filth is going on. No, here he's saying that he should get married at that point, but in other words, he held it was even so powerful that if he reaches 20, he's not going to be able to get over it. That he'll always be, he'll get used to Avera. Omar Rava v'chein tana d'Avera Yishmael. Ad 20 shana yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu metzapeh la'adam. So until a guy is 20 years old, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got patience, okay, nu, matai yisa isha, nu, when's he going to get married already? Kivan shigia v'srim v'lo nasa. He says, you know what, tipachatz motav, he's got to let the guy rot his bones, you know, let them swell up and just and burst. Omer of Chista. Because it's like you're keeping everything inside. It's all internalized. You know. So Rav Chista said, Adadif to Miachav Roi. You know why I am in such better shape than my friends? Because I got married at 16. The Sivna Bashit says, I never had to deal with this, with the Yetzer Hara at that level. But I can tell you one thing, if I would have gotten married at 14, I would have been much better. Because I had a few years of pain. So you have in the Sivna Bar Besar. So if I would have gotten married at 14, then I would have been able to turn to the Sultan, and I could have told the Sultan, screw you. So have Amina the Sultan, Gira Beinecha, go ahead, do something. It's pretty fighting words. especially with the Gemara's later about Rabbi Akiva. Omar Le Rava, the Rav Nosson Bar Ami. Let me give you some advice. Adiyadcha Tzavarei Dabreich. While you've got control over your son, so you still have your hand on his neck, and you can still press, which is from the time he's 16. Before that, he can't even understand anything. By the time he's 16, you can talk to him a little bit intelligently and tell him about life. And until he's 22, once he's 22 already, you can't even squeeze his neck. I mean, it's all over. Then he does whatever the heck he wants. Or some say, from 18 to 24. Actually, that's a machlokas tanoim. But you should be handling him and making sure that he gets married during that period. Because if you let him go after he's doing whatever he wants, God only knows what's going to happen to him. So act while you can. I mean, this thing about 20, that's his business. But the father, who has a chiyuv to make sure his son is set up in life, should do it while he can. So either till 22 or till 24. Ketanai. Chanoch lenaar al pidarko. See to it that the child is set up now so that this becomes his path for life. What is that? So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia argue. Chanomar mishetzer esrimetarti. So here it's about chlokas tanai. One says, indeed, from 16, because before 16 he's so involved in himself that he's always going to be defensive. So anything you tell him, he's just going to be defensive about. There's no point. He's not intelligent enough, mature enough, to be able to handle it. So once he's 16, then already he's able to look at himself. Until he's 22, above 22, you're not going to be able to control him. But Chadomer mitmani sre, it's not worth talking to a 17-year-old either. You wait until he's 18. V'yad esrim v'arba'ha. So apparently we're used to thinking that we've got long childhoods, you know. We think that it's a new development. The childhood goes on until 22, 24. You know, we talk about once upon a time, kids were expected to be on their own by the time they're 14, 15. But you see that in the Gemara, it was clear to them that there was an union of raising a child to 22 or 24, depending on, you know, and the Mandi Amar, which clearly is a function of the kid as well.
Are these ages applicable to that generation?
The mice, if the kid is not going to be Makabal Teichach, I mean, then what's the point? Oh, you mean the question of, that's already a different issue, because marriage now is not what marriage used to be. It involves a level of maturity it might be dangerous. You know, so it depends. But there are marriages. Look, I mean, there's whole seaboards that even today get married at 16. In Mexico, girls not married in Mexico by 16 is like Forget it. Disaster. No, seriously. Mamish is really serious. Yeah, the Jewish community. 16. I mean, it's like in our community, 28. That's Mamish. And the males too. 18. No, it's because they have a different view of marriage. So, in other words, when people get married, in Eretz Yisrael, we just get married 16, 14, male 16, or even younger. So, the idea over there was the marriage was basically just living together, growing up together, and there were no expectations about change and growth and development, which people can go off totally in different directions, and now, like, there's nothing in common. And that could be a disaster. So obviously, investment in marriage and an oifen that's not going to be sustainable, it's not a good idea. But, there's a beautiful medrash about the Benos Slavcha. So it says in the medrash, because the Torah makes such a big deal. It says, and so on, at least lists every one of them, right? They went and they married people from their sheva. A great time. I'm really interested in what, you know, okay, could you say Va'asuchein? It says the Medrash, the point is that they all got married at 40. Because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, L'tov be'eneihem, yu l'nashim, so that meant that they had a right to go and to choose the right guy. So the Torah was mishabeach them, kept them young and fresh, because they wanted only the right guy. Unbelievable Medrash. And Mamish Pasuk makes a big deal of it.
What age did he say?
40.
From zero.
Yeah. Because they had to find L'tov Be'eneihem. Kadosh Baruch Hu said. So you see that there's an inyan in marriage that where you're holding on that darga, that it has to be Tov. You could take your time and Kadosh Baruch Hu helps you, wants you to have the Tov. Whereas if the marriage is just there in terms of Avera, you know, what are you doing? Like, how much do you need anyway? Right? Does it really matter who you marry? Normally, it didn't really matter. You know, parents arrange the marriage, see the girl, you like the girl, fine, you know, and that's it. Not a big deal that you have to worry about. The match is a fundamental match. It's essentially, look, both families are like this. It's in Ve'agefen, bin Ve'agefen. You know, we'll take care of you, you know. It was fine. There was no problem with it. But there wasn't much of a relationship other than a very fundamental biological relationship. People loving each other on the level that animals love each other, you know. Monogamous animals stay there.
Does it evolve beyond that, you should say?
Clearly it evolves beyond that. I mean, the whole Derech HaElam is an evolution in the relationship between the sexes. Because the original matzav in Gan Eden was the breakdown in the relationship. The Eitz Hadas is a description of a breakdown in relationship in the sexes. The Klol of Gan Eden is a further breakdown in the relationship of reproduction and who Yimshol Bach, etc. So any tikkun of the Chet of Gan Eden involves a total change, which you see happening all over the world. It's an unbelievable thing. That now it's like Kibbutz of who Yimshol Bach is brought to the Mavutva. People feel it's terrible, it's a curse, we can't live like this. It's unbelievable. This is all right. But in the Torah too, it's not just, in other words, the development of Klal Yisrael. The difference between the earlier stages listed in the Torah and the story of Esther, Umash, are astounding. So here's an Isha that's mekabelat all of the inyanim of Tznias, that she becomes the paradigm of Tznias, and she shalates on everything. Right? That becomes, and it's the same thing. He sholet et alakol. He omeret b'diyuk ba'lasot. Et ma'amar Esther. It's all, you know, she tells the chachomim kivouni ledorot. She doesn't put up with any nonsense. That's an unbelievable story. Mamish unbelievable. Sorry, I forgot what I was going to say. Okay. I wanted to point out that also that this is not, it's not only a function of human relationships. It's an existential description of creation. Because before man even existed, you have the Chama and Levona argument, which is exactly this issue of ancient name Elohim, Mishtamshim Beketerecha. And then we say, Maika Ora Levanaka, Ora Chama, right? Kor Shivat Yemeber. So that's exactly this Nekuda, which is the holy name of Kiddush HaKodesh. That's why women don't say it, basically. Right? Because there's the Miyat HaLavana. The Lavana can't get up and say, you know, there shouldn't be any Miyat HaLavana. It has to be the men who say it. I know. It was raining. We couldn't. You know, we have to remember to do it maybe tonight. Maybe too late. But it's unbelievable. This is mamash, a description of the most fundamental forces in Maisa Bereishis. Obviously, the deepest expression of it is Bereishis itself. Because Maisa Bereishis is an Isha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the whole point is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the day is going to come in which we'll be hand in hand, V'lo tiyu yireim l'lefanai. You'll be able to stand, V'olechotchem kamu miyut, you'll be able to stand b'koma zekufa, and you won't be terrified to stand in my presence. Despite the fact that there will still be the Yochoshka, you won't be yireim l'lechas v'sholom, but won't affect the relationship. And how is that brought out by the Navi? By Yomahu, lo tigra'eni ba'ali ala ishi. You will not be my husband, Lashon of Balut, my man. Exactly modern. It's like unbelievable. I don't have a husband. This is my man. My chaver. This is mamish, the description of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amazing. Yes, obviously it evolves, but by definition, it's the most evolving, most clear-cut evolving thing that we find. And you know what the Pella is? That even Charedim, where they're totally against the whole concept of evolution, so and growth, and that's evolutionary growth, they ended up being the ones who completely established women's liberation in Klal Yisrael with the Kailani. So my father's Zatzal pointed this out. The most destructive impact on the concept of a Jewish home was Kailani. It's a complete reversal of everything that Chazal believed, of Kol Kvuda Bat Melech Pima and so on. A woman should not be outside in the shuk, and she shouldn't go out, and Ein Darka Shel Isha to go to Beit Mishpat to take care of this. And now, exactly the opposite. I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how she handles it all. It's that unbelievable. They didn't even understand what they were doing. Because of it, by the way, there's no longer any covet from the women to the men at all. The whole concept of Ezo, Yishak Shirah, Saratzon Ba'alatan, they know better about everything. I mean, the fact that they really do is irrelevant, but you know, but seriously, they're, you know, they have the Das Torah, you know. The husbands are never good enough. They're doing all the work, they're bringing all the money. Who is this parasite anyway? You know? He's not doing a job. It's unbelievable.
This Gemara we don't know either, because really always reminds us that we've got to remember the biology that we come from. If this is a real issue to an individual, they should definitely get married.
Okay, but on the other hand, you're not going to be able to handle your Uri Avera very much with a woman who has hate your guts. I mean, no criticism. I know how many marriages end up without any real sexual connection because of this. You know, it used to be biology talk, now like Viagra talks. That's not a joke.
If a woman loses respect for the man, she doesn't.
If a woman loses respect for a man, he can't get it up. Isn't that true? I mean, it's like, no. That's part of the relationship. So she undermines him. She unmans him. Right? So yeah, that's why you find like, it's unbelievable the amount of Viagra that is sold. It's like a standard kind of thing. Whoever heard of it? Yeah, it's a standard thing. Even to young people. Yeah, because you know, it's interesting. A doctor told me, nobody needs Viagra. Because Lamaisa, anybody can do perfectly well, have an erection. There's not really such a thing as sexual dysfunction, kimat. Very, very, very rare. So in 90% of these cases, they don't have any wherewithal. They don't have any relationship that gives them the sense that they want to have sex. So it's just an alternative, you know. If you can't work out your life, you don't like your wife, you don't have any cheshek, you don't feel like relating to her, so you take a drug, you know, to go through the motions. That's all that it is. It's like everything else. People take drugs to go through all motions.
So that's called the opposite extreme.
Yeah, it's terrible.
The thing that's broken down is that he's not ruling over her, but she's ruling over him.
Yeah, but it's very easy for a woman to rule over a man in that way. I mean, No, all shastras make fun of your sexual function. You know, so Koshkin, if she makes fun of your home and see us as a human being, right? This is what happens. It's begetter bizoyan. I hear this all the time from Kerala people that come in. They're devastated.
That's because a man uses masculinity.
Right, it's under
the
exactly.
You're
no man.
Of finding that balance where he maintains. It's what the Mara points out. Don't walk after. Don't be like her, he says.
And then there's certain context of Mara. Mara is asking the question. If you've got a choice between learning or getting married, right? I mean, which it's the core of the Kolal system. And we can be really looking at it. I mean, the Mara that just dealt with that very issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's Nogela Rashi in the text position.